Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. Today we're going to learn the halachas of Shatnez. The Torah tells us in Vayikra Perik Yotes Pasuk Yotes that in Chukosai Tishmor, that you're going to Eschukosai Tishmor, you're going to guard my statutes. And the end of the pasuk says, "Beged kilaim shadnez lo yale alecha." You're not allowed to wear a clothing item which is of shadnez, of mixes. And again, in Devarim, in Perikov Beis, it says, "Lo sil bas shadnez semer upishtim yachtav." And it explains a little more clearly there that it is wool and it is linen together. This is animal-based and plant-based, two materials put together. We're going to look at three basic concepts: prohibited combinations, barriers, and different types of garments. Let's start at the beginning, prohibited combinations. So what is kenai kilaim exactly? So it is the prohibited mixture of wool, which is from ewes or rams, and linen, which is flax. Any garment containing the mixture of these two is forbidden as well. Why is it asur? So the Sefer HaChinuch explains that in mitzvah, 551 in the Torah, that the Torah gives us a number of rules which tells us the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a certain order in creation. He doesn't want us to mix around that order. One of those orders relates to the way that our clothing is made. We're not supposed to mix these particular two types of cloth or these two types of thread, because there are certain energies associated within that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want us to mix up. And this relates to a lot of other aspects of mixes in the world as well, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, as he explains, b'chochma b'tvuna v'das, where Hashem has created the world with wisdom, insight, and deeper knowledge, and v'asa tzir v'tzir kol atzuros ru'uyos v'tachlisan, and he made everything fitting for the way it should be. And therefore, he made a kufiya nireh, he says, according to what it seems, is shloi l'shanos davar b'maaseh bereishis. We're not supposed to change the way he wants the world to be run, and this is one of the expressions of this. What does the word shatnez actually mean? So it's an acronym of three words, or really a combination of three words, which are shua, tavui, and nuz, which means something which is spun and twined, essentially, the different stages of the producing of thread. Why is this? So it's a debate as to why this is, but generally it's understood to mean that it only applies to threads which have been comb spun and twined to get to that point of finality, so not in an earlier stage. Does the manner of sewing the wool and linen matter in terms of shatnez prohibition? So the answer is no. Whether the wool garments are sewn to linen garments using silk or hemp threads, or wool garments sewn with linen threads, it doesn't make a difference. It is a problem. How much sewing constitutes shatnez? So sewing one stitch and tying it is enough, or two stitches even without tying it is enough to constitute of shatnez. What if it wasn't sewn? So linen threads tied with wool threads, or linen braided with wool, are still considered shatnez and are forbidden. So it's not just sewing. Is it permitted to pin wool and linen together without threads? So just a pin is holding them together? Answer is no. Even being joined together by a pin or a needle is going to be a problem of shatnez. May sheepskin garments be sewn with linen threads? So sheepskin, yes, may be sewn with linen threads. The only concern is actually mixing wool and linen, not sheepskin. Even if there is the wool hairs do not count as wool in this respect. It's not considered its own material. It's just attached to it may be just the remainder which is on the skin of the sheep. May I manufacture shatnez? So if there's any possibility a Jew will buy it, one is not allowed to. It's not prohibited to non-Jews, but for Jews, and therefore for it's going to end up in the hands of a Jew, which is a high possibility in today's global market, is a problem. What about other types of wool? So cashmere is a wool which comes from goats, and it is technically not prohibited as shatnez. However, a number of experts in shatnez point out that it is worthwhile being very concerned about it, because many times most cashmere or mohair will actually contain a significant amount of wool from sheep's as well. Meaning to say that it's even if it tells you it's 100% cashmere, it's going to have other regular sheep wool in it as well, which is not considered annulled, and therefore one has to do the checking. Let's move into our second concept, which is barriers. So is it permissible to join wool and linen directly, indirectly through another material like leather? So let's say one has the leather in between. So according to the Rambam, it is prohibited by Torah law to indirectly join in wool and linen by sewing them into opposite sides of an intervening material. But many, some poskim say it is all right, and the prevalent custom is to allow it to be sewn, for leather to be sewn with linen threads as lining for wool garments. But he said people careful should avoid, should try to abide by the Rambam, even if there's a barrier between them. What if I'm not wearing it? So midoraisa, it's not a problem. But rabbinically, it's forbidden if it's soft. So this may apply to carpets and cushions, pillows. Can one sit on multiple layers of mats if the bottom one is shadness? So the prohibition of even if it's soft is going to exist even under sort of the princess and the pea situation of 10 mats. If the bottom one is shadness, it's a problem to be on that. Can you cover yourself with a part of the garment if the other end contains shadness? So no, you cannot cover yourself with the garment even if the other end, which is not on you, is shadness, even if it's not directly touching you. Can a Jew sew garments of shatness for a non-Jew? So answer is yes. A Jew may sew shatness garments for a non-Jew in a regular manner, provided there's no going benefit from the garment. So let's say the Jew is sewing it and it's resting on their knees. That's a problem because the one's getting the benefit of warmth from that garment, and that's a problem. Are clothing dealers allowed to carry shatness garments on their shoulders? So yes, so let's say a garment dealer is carrying like suits or shirts and they are shatness shirts, one can carry them on one's shoulders, provided there's no intent to get to use them to protect against the cold or the rain. But he says that really God-fearing people should be very careful to have direct contact with shatness garments. We move to our last concept today, and that is different types of garments. So do handkerchiefs, towels, tablecloths, like, you know, the cover of the bima in a shul, do they fall under the prohibition of shatness? The answer is yes. All these items, including even the cover of the bima in a shul, are subject to prohibition of shatness. How about the paroiches, which is the dividing curtain in front of the ark, in front of the aron? So on that, there's no problem of having shatness on that. Why is it different? So in all the previous cases, handkerchiefs, towels, tablecloths, are things that people sometimes rub their hands against and will warm themselves or dry themselves off on. And in that case, therefore, there's a problem of prohibition of shatness because one can gain benefit from it. But no one would ever do that with a paroiches, the dividing curtain of the ark, which is why it is allowed to be shatness. May I ride on a wagon or a coach upholstered with shatness material? So the answer is yes, provided one is careful not to lean directly against the sides containing shatness. It's especially important to not to sit on cushions containing shatness, because although some poskim allow sitting on specially designated cushions where the sides do not bend in around the person, one has to be careful. In fact, there's a very famous story about the stipler of Yaakov Kanievsky, when he arranged a date with a young woman in a distant town, and he needed to take a train to get there. The night before the train ride, he sat up all night because he was learning, and he thought he could make up his lost time, his sleep on the train. But when he got to the train, he suspected that the seats were, in fact, a wool and linen combination, so he did not sit down. So he wasn't able to sleep, so he stood the whole journey. And when he arrived and met the young lady, who happened to be the sister of the Chazon Ish, for their first date, he fell asleep on the date. And she was very concerned about that. That did not strike her as a great thing. But she spoke to her brother, and when the Chazon Ish found out what really happened, she was very impressed. In fact, they did marry and they had a wonderful life together. But it just that's a famous story about the train seats, because they were soft train seats where there was a concern of shatness. When must one test for shatness? So the practical halacha is today, the vast majority of clothing is no longer using linen, because linen used to be a staple, but it is expensive to produce. It was replaced a few centuries ago generally by cotton, and today most clothing that's produced is synthetic. So if you have an item which is fully synthetic, many poskim will say it's not necessary, although you'll see that many of the shatness experts will say you never know, it could be that there's still an issue. But if it's completely polyester or rayon, generally speaking, it's less of a concern. But if there is any wool or there is any linen on it, it should be checked, because you don't know what's in the lining when it comes to these kind of things, especially the more expensive high-end garments, whether it's for women or men. We don't know what the lining or interlining is. So if there is any wool or linen in it, it should obviously be checked. And in Shatner's laboratories, they are able to see, based on the formulation of the threads, as to what material they are, and therefore thereby avoid the concern of Shatner's altogether. With this, we conclude the halachas of Shatner's. We'll have wonderful meaning.